This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The masks are coming out of the bag. Sorrow, now it's Batman this time.
Raw emotion, knee slides, backflips, bundles, political messages, a man pretending to be a fish. When it comes to goal celebrations, we think we've seen it all, then inevitably something new comes along.
Did any of you get what celebration it was, by the way? Save the last dance, a lift from the end, save the last dance.
A good goal deserves a good celebration because goals are the best bit, and a well-executed celebration can raise a great moment into an iconic one.
And here's Gascoigne.
From Roger Miller pole dancing to Bebeto rocking a cradle and Alan Shearer putting his arm up a bit.
Shearer!
The post-goal celebration is one of the little details that make football a joy. Some are brilliant because they're spontaneous, some stick in the mind because they capture a moment, and some are so blandly calculated they make you look like a dead-eyed psychopath. Shoo! You would think that the goal celebration is as old as the goal, but as we're about to learn, that's not necessarily the case. So wheel away, punch the corner flag, and if you're Richard Keys, fuck off. Because this is the Football Ramble's guide to goal celebrations. Gentlemen. How are we doing?
Strong start.
Yeah,
it's
Jesus.
Already one of my favourite rambles.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. So we're going to start by asking, what do you think are the key ingredients for you in a good celebration? Is it simplicity? Is it choreography? Is it a big old knee slide? What do you like to see?
I think the thing I'd like to see is actually an ingredient of celebration that I believe is fundamental to a good celebration. And it's continuing in the direction, not the change of direction.
Right, I like that. Yeah,
because it always, and I get why people do it sometimes. You know, there's a famous goal when Peter Crouch scores the goal at the Etihad that gets Tottenham Champions League football for the next season, where his immediate reaction is to run right. He's at the near post and scores, I think, then goes to run right. Then remembers the Spurs fans are on his left and goes and celebrates in front of them.
So it's flow.
Yeah.
Almost dance, like
exactly.
Ballet, you know? It's about the smooth movement of limbs.
Exactly, yeah. And with that in mind, I'm a big fan of, for example, when people score a chip and they know it's in before it's in, and then they already start to move in the direction they're celebrating.
Nice.
So I think basically it's that initial movement, which for me is the most important thing about celebration.
Can I nominate one in that vein, in the sense of one that's aesthetically pleasing, to do with the flow of motion, the camera work, the occasion, everything? I would say David Beckham versus Greece.
Yes.
Is a very pleasing celebration aesthetically. Yeah. Even if it's in it, not something you could replicate and would look good always. It's just the movement, the moment, the flow of it, the modern dance element of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things about a good celebration for me is that it being spontaneous and it showing the personality of not just the player that scored the goal, but the team around him in ways that they're not really in control of. There can be a lot to be said for a choreographed celebration that we'll come on to, but like you see the bonds between the players sometimes. One thing I don't like is when a player avoids his teammates trying to sort of get in.
This is my moment.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm running to the cameras, I'm running to the fans, and maybe if you only score once every 100 games, that's fair enough, but you do get sort of free scoring players that do that. I'm not a huge fan of that.
So I'm slightly worried that you've already told Richard Keys to naff off in this pod, because I worry that my role here will be to be the Grinch,
to be the celebration.
My concern is, but I'm so aligned with what you just said. I think spontaneity, with a certain notable exceptions, I think the sort of look at me, I'm so cool celebrations really rankle with me. They don't sit right at all. I know I'm speaking to an Arsenal fan over a Thierry Henry thing. I don't, that's fine, whatever.
He's different. He's a superhero.
Yeah.
I like it when players look happy that they've done a goal.
Yeah, I know, but I think, so the thing
if you're too cool to be happy when you've scored a goal, not sure I really trust you.
But I always...
Just on a mental level.
I kind of admired Thierry Henry's celebration because there was an element of like, this is just what I do. And it played into the character that he concocted on the field.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I find obnoxious.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't that a good thing for your opponent to have in their head? It's like, oh, this is easy for him. Fuck, he might do it again.
Yeah, and the thing that I would say that I'm glad he kind of moved away from it, not least because it was off the back of a goal he scored against my team, Manchester United, at Highbury. The WhatsApp Budweiser celebration, which is one of the worst things he's ever done. And I'm about to say something libelous there. But yeah, it's one of the worst things he's ever done. Yeah.
Yeah, shut up.
there was also, but very quickly, there was also a goal he scored against Chelsea at Highbury where all the build-up was about his record against big teams.
Mm.
And this is, Chelsea, in the start of the Abramovich era.
Somebody scored after about 30 seconds.
He did. Yeah. And he ran away and he was just like dusting off the badge. And it was quite a like, what are you all talking about type celebration? Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
And I kind of admired that as well.
Yeah. It was great. So let's sort of pivot to spontaneous celebrations. Mm. We had a tweet from listener Sam when we asked for our listeners' favourite celebrations. And he said, probably the Tardelli. All these pre-rehearsed trademark celebrations you see these days, like Mbappe, Ronaldo, etc., just seem so fake and joyless in comparison to someone just completely losing their mind. And I get that. It feels like part of the brand, doesn't it, for the elite players, where they know they're going to score a lot of goals. So they do... They almost essentially do a physical like logo.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I would say that a lot of that isn't governed by them. They're not the ones who think, oh, this is I could market this. For example, I genuinely love the Mbappe celebration. I think it's very cool. I think it's very simple, and I think it is spontaneous because he does it so naturally. Because he used to do it with a knee slide
every time.
Yeah. He now just does that when, upright anyway. And someone else has the thought, we could copyright that. Yeah. Mm.
I always used to be so impressed by knee slides. I was thinking, how on earth are you all getting so much distance on grass? It's like, it's wet, isn't it? It is really as simple as that.
Wet and it's consistent.
Yeah.
Like it's the best surface for knee slides. Yeah.
I'd like to see that as an event.
I'm pretty sure it is a thing, isn't it?
Really?
In the same bracket as people who chase cheese down a hill.
Yeah. I mean, knee slides have got far more value to them than that.
Yeah.
So maybe that should be an Olympic event in the future. So in a survey of 2,000 fans this year, over half admitted they're not fans of pre-organised celebrations. 39% felt that footballers have too much time on their hands if they plan such an occasion. I think this was taken
in the Daily Mail.
So yeah. I was on board with this for a while and then left. Yeah. What did they think? Like, you do know overtraining is a thing, right? Right. Footballers actually have an absurd amount of free time on their hands because you can't train that much and you can only do video analysis for so long before your brain turns to mush, right?
Yes.
So actually, they have a genuine challenge on their hands because a lot of the things you and I do when we have spare time, they cannot do.
Yeah.
It's about to do what you put your body, what you put into your body. And, and I'm not going to continue that sentence. So, obviously, I understand. Like, I like the spontaneity. I like when people are happy. I love your point about how, like, when the celebrations almost reveals part of the dynamics of the group and this sort of thing. When people are themselves.
When it's your team that you support, who you kind of almost transpose yourself onto, you know? Yeah. You want to feel a part of that, the organisation, really. And it's like, Granite's happy. That's good.
Yes, yeah.
I feel like we're happy together and we're mates.
He looked at me. You know, it's like when people are talking about, like, the time they met the Queen and they knew she was a good person. When it's like, yeah, she walked in, she looked at me and she nodded. And I thought, what a lovely woman. I think people have that with celebrations.
Yeah, not once did she call me a peasant.
Yeah. But like, yeah, as you say, like they run over and they're like, oh, you celebrated right with me. And I grabbed him by the hair. We're one.
Yeah, and it's also a nice, like, I don't know, like, this is a happy moment. I would like to share it with other people who are also happy. That seems nice to me. Like, going to the crowd and that sort of thing. Obviously, you don't want to incite a riot.
Like Emmanuel Adebayor.
Must not turn into an all-night rave.
Yeah.
But I think there's something nice about that, actually. That's kind of sweet. I like that.
Let's kind of move on to some more iconic celebrations. I think of Alan Shearer quite a lot. I mentioned it in the intro, but he patented that. And it is really just a man putting his hand up. And I suppose Alan Shearer was quite no-nonsense.
You know, patenting is, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't him. I'm sure that was like a representative or something.
Yeah.
He thought, let's do that. But just so wanky. I mean, surely he would have said, no. Like, we mustn't do that because... But what
We're
does it even
sue
mean?
Someone
does someone
do
in
it.
The National like, League run around with their arm in the air and I was like, oh, I've got to pay money to Alan Shearer now. Damn it, I forgot that.
Yeah, I waved to my wife.
My entire goal bonus goes to Shearer.
Yeah.
We can't say sue anymore as well. Even the patent thing is like, it's just the logo, isn't it? It's like the Shearer logo rather than like no one could put their hand in the air.
It has always struck me with the Shearer celebration when he's running off. Very important that he keeps running. Because if he comes to a full stop, then suddenly that gesture is not ideal. Yeah,
it's not very market friendly.
Goes into sort of Wayne Hennessy territory, doesn't it? Which is not ideal.
Yeah, very much so.
You can't be waving at all of them.
No.
So we spoke in the
Bring
intro.
Bring me a drink.
Or I spoke in the intro about how you would think that the goal celebration would be as old as goals themselves, but apparently that isn't the case. There's a centre forward called Eddie Brown, who's credited as being the trailblazer of the celebration in England from the 1950s. And flamboyance was essentially quite rare then. And he was quite creative with it. He shook hands with a corner flag, hugged a policeman, and he once went missing after going into the crowd for a swig of lemonade.
Lemonade.
By Jove.
I like it.
I like that as well. It's very of its
not
time.
Not a chance it was lemonade.
He said in 2012, yes, I was eccentric, not crackers, just eccentric. Again, just very much of the time. This guy sounds like he was great fun, actually. He ended up sort of managing amateur sides locally and was a bit of a local hero. Scored a lot of goals as well. And it's just weird to me. What do people do? What surely like you can't help but celebrate that you've achieved
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
It seems very strange to me, this.
Yes.
People just like shook their own hand and...
I do
it.
Like the hugging
Best
of the police.
Off,
I mean, maybe that could be something for Ali Holland or something. Immediately sprints over to the steward and gives him a big hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about doing that to a policeman. The idea that in that moment he could have been arrested.
Yeah.
Like if he took the piss, like if he took his hat and put it on.
Mm.
That's, I don't know. There's like, I would like to see that, and maybe I wouldn't like to see that. Actually.
Or maybe trying to hug the ref or something, just see what happens. That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, that used to be the rumour here. I don't know if you're aware of this urban legend, or maybe it's not an urban legend, Lars, but I remember what was always said in the playgrounds of where I grew up was that if you knocked a policeman's hat off, he couldn't arrest you.
What?
So you could just knock his hat off and run away.
Because he doesn't have any authority.
The authority is all in the hat. That's why the hats are so silly. So
that implies that if you take authority. The hat, then you can arrest people, which doesn't seem to make sense.
Oh, yes, I like that.
Yeah. So maybe what Erling Haaland should do is run to a policeman, took the hat on, and then arrest the entire defence for the opposition team. Just make the next goal easier. This doesn't make any sense. People in playgrounds in England just haven't thought things through.
No, they haven't. No.
Idiots.
So we're going to try and sort of perhaps... translate, I suppose you'd say, a couple of classic ones here. So, and you see celebrations kind of spread. They're essentially memes, aren't they? Because a player starts doing it and then everyone starts doing it. Like the Bebeto baby thing. We first saw that in the World Cup in 1994, and you see that a lot now. It's just become part of the culture. So you get players like Luis Suarez who kiss their wrists, and that's often based around a tattoo they might have on the wrist. That, and then the kiss honours whatever that tattoo is about, which I don't think is quite nice. Raul had it, kissed his ring finger.
I always like, I'm very sentimental. I always like that.
Yeah. And I love that era of Real Madrid. My flatmate pointed it out. And she wasn't as into football and would be watching Real Madrid back when it was on, Spanish football was on Sky. And, you know, the ball would be being passed around and we were like, Sergio Ramos, Michel Salgado, Raul. And she's like, they're like a Mills and Boone novel. They are. They have, like that Madrid, that era Madrid really, really was like that. Especially because they all had sort of long flowing hair and they're all very, very sort of muscular and pretty, essentially. And I think that that Raul kissing his ring finger really, really plays into that.
Yeah.
Similarly, if Mauro Icardi and Maxi Lopez were playing each other and Icardi scored, would he go over and kiss Maxi Lopez's ring finger?
You've taken it somewhere bad, Vish, but I would like to say I think that is very nice. Aside from
it is very nice,
being
yeah.
an enjoy, well, the thing you suggested, not necessarily very nice. But aside from spontaneous joy and honesty and not trying to look cool, I definitely do like the idea that your first instinct after doing something that's very important for you professionally and that's very important is to, like, in some way honor someone who means something to you.
Yeah,
I think that's very good.
So one of my, this is the sincere bit of me coming through now. One of my favorite celebrations, and it's very rare that it happens, but it's when a player comes back from injury, scores, and runs over to the physio or someone from the medical team, and is like, you helped. Yeah. This is your moment as much as it is mine. Like, I think that's a real sweet, sincere moment.
Yeah. Again, and that shows a bit of the personality of the squad, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the character of those involved.
Also, added points if the manager thinks he's running to you and then he gets
which
has happened a few times.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always very good.
One of my favourites is a simple one. Which is the bundle. You don't see it all the time, but I love it when you see it. And I mean, again, this was something that was very prevalent. I don't know about it.
Is there a health and safety problem
there?
Was
this the case in Norway? At school, if a few people jumped on a kid and one of them shouted, bundle, everyone would just do it.
That would not happen, no.
Really? That happened a lot in the UK. I have a suspicion that that rule still applies. If you're on a busy bus and like you and a mate just jump on someone and shout bundle, I reckon a lot of people will join in.
I reckon
it would almost be muscle memory.
Yeah, my compulsion would be, to hear it.
Like, bundle! I haven't done this in ages.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's like we're all sleeper agents.
Yeah.
You just hear that word. You just go. Yeah,
just switches something on in you.
Speaking of the bundle, the all-time bundle in football, Jimmy Glass.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, that's the greatest moment in the history of sport.
He scored a last-minute winner, which kept Carlisle United in the Football League in 1999. He was on loan from Swindon Town. He came up from a corner. He volleyed it in. Watch the goal. It's brilliant.
Yeah, but he's a goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, watch it for the celebration as well. Because, yeah, everything about, you know, all the things we love, it distilled into one moment, including something we touched on before, where a fan, you know, all the fans run on. It's the world's biggest bundle, I think, on record. And there's a point where the referee tries to stop people running on by blowing his whistle and a fan runs on and jumps and hugs him and takes him to the ground and then he just disappears in a mass of bodies. And it's an outstanding thing. But that is the ultimate like celebration for me, yeah.
But I just, the only concern with a big bundle, I mean, there are health and safety issues here. Like with the knee slide, you worry about the ligaments and the things. Like if I'm a manager, I do not want to see a striker who's had knee injuries do a knee slide. I mean, immediate ban of that. But I also just think, I'm trying to think, what's a good example? Man United have quite a few small players. Like if you have like Christian Eriksen and like Anthony, oh, Anthony's not that small, but Sandra, yeah, all those guys who are a bit short, and specifically Eriksen, they're in a bundle and suddenly like Harry Maguire jumps into it.
Yeah.
Like that would, you don't want that him to land on top of him and then you could break something.
But that's always the last person to enter
injured
the bundle.
In a bundle.
The bundle.
Must
is
be
often
a short
the,
one.
No, but it's often the biggest person.
Yeah, because he's slow to get there.
But he's encouraged to do so. And there's a moment, you can feel it, especially when you're at the bottom of the bundle where you're like, hold on, there's a bit of quiet. Something bad's gonna, and then you just feel
here he
it.
Comes.
Yeah.
Here comes Slavet.
I think if you're Christian Eriksen, you need to A, just always pass the ball, make sure you don't score, and then if there is a goal and there is a bundle, you've got to stay out of that.
That's
thing. You know, you've got a health condition to keep in mind.
So there's to translate a few more, there's the thumb in the mouth generally means a player's is it a tribute to a player's newborn baby a tribute to their child in general. Can also mean scoring a goal was very easy or child's play. Shit housing is not to be overlooked, actually, isn't it? So that's That's quite a fun aspect of it as well. It's often to make a point, the manager or the media, the dentist chair, Paul Gascoigne's famous dentist chair was an example of this.
So I do like that stuff, that celebrations is that, again, that I think that's the exception to my all spontaneity and no planning rule, is probably something that, well, it still probably can be spontaneous, but something that references current events, I'm kind of happy with. Like the Hull City Phil Brown thing.
Yeah, that, yes.
For listeners who are not aware, Phil Brown, one-time coach of Hull City, once famously kept the team out on the pitch and told them off in front of the fans as a sort of a very failed gesture of whatever it was. Yeah, it wasn't a good idea.
Outside the box thinking.
And then later on they did a goal and they celebrated by, it must have been Jimmy Boulard.
Taking
the role of Phil Brown and pretending to tell them off in front of everyone. Mm. I think that is a tremendous celebration. We have, and I'm surprised we haven't seen more of this, but we had one instance in Brazil where the forward Marinho, who played for, I believe he played again for Santos at the time, did a VAR decision miming celebration.
Oh,
right,
wow.
Okay.
So he scored a great goal and then he mimed the VAR check. And
that's very good.
Have to have it confirmed and then point to the spot. Like, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often, because that is a very obvious place to go, especially like if you're, like recently McAllister had that goal chalked off for Brighton. Mm. Mm. I can't believe that he...
One of the great disallowed goals.
Yeah, and when he then scored a goal later on, also a good goal, I can't believe that he had the composure to A, not just run over to the referee and just to tell him to disallow this, you knob, or do a sarcastic sort of like, that's something I quite like.
Mm. I got booked at school for celebrating a goal. I'd been called offside quite a few times in this game and I scored a goal late on. We were already winning, but scored a goal and I ran over to the touchline and put my hand
flag,
and the referee came over, booked me, and then, because obviously he was like the teacher of the other school, he went, and don't be a dickhead.
I would have said, don't you be a dickhead. Yeah. Have some joy in your life. Has your wife left you, or what's happening? Did you not, did you either get not enough custody or too much custody?
I'm thinking back now. maybe I should have done that, actually. I'm not feel like George from Seinfeld.
You probably would have gotten the second yellow for dissent, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially if you bring the custody into it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We'll be right back.
So on the subject of pre-planned celebrations, do we think Tamiri Kietzbeyer's famous celebration was pre-planned? He scored an injury time winner for Newcastle against Bolton in 98, and it went down in history because he removed his shirt, attempted to remove his boot, and then just started kicking advertising boards so much that he broke his toe.
I don't think that was planned.
No?
I don't think he woke up that morning and said, you know what, I'm Tamiri Kietzbeyer. If I'm going to score a goal today, I will take off my boot and kick the advertising hoarding. Because yeah. That is a clever thing to do when you're not wearing a boot.
So Rob on Twitter put this forward as his favourite, most iconic celebration. He said, it's Kietzbeyer hands down, but for me, it's not even the booting the hoardings bit. It's the fact that when the ball comes to him after the restart, he's still so pumped, he just hoofs it over the stand. With a broken toe at that point as well. Ooh. So much adrenaline he didn't even notice, obviously.
What?
It was such an iconic moment, that, wasn't it?
It's just because the moment where I can't remember who celebrates with him, but
they're all scared though.
Yeah, but there's a moment where he's like, come on, mate, it's fine. He starts pulling him away. He's like, look, you're taking it too far now. Passing him the ball and he booting it out of the stand. It's
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So we're going to move on to team celebrations, which obviously, I mean, realistically, that they have to be choreographed, don't they? Icelandic team Stjarnan went viral for their creative routines. It started with the Rambo, where the goal scorer took out two of his teammates with fake punches, shot three others with his hand shaped like a pistol, then ran to the halfway line, slid onto his stomach into a sniper's position and took down his goalie. Camera operator actually missed him taking down the goalie, apparently. They also did the fish one.
The fish one was good.
The fish one was very well acted. That was
impressive athleticism on the count of the man playing
so
the fish.
The guy that scored the goal basically ran over to some empty space,
doing the snake.
Cast a line with mimed casting a line, obviously, and then one of his teammates behaved like a fish.
If he had actually cast a line, I think that would have been a foul somehow.
Yeah, you can't bring in props
to
celebrations.
Although
that said, some
cannot
people
be
do
fish
it.
Hooking your teammates.
Yeah, which is rubbish.
Yeah, Aubameyang's had a few masks in his
Facundo Sava as well. Yeah. I remember for Fulham, and then we didn't see it enough, so they sold him. The Aubameyang one was weird because he started doing like the Black Panther, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Black Panther mask, and it's like, are they paying you for this? Like, I don't really get it. There must be some kind of intellectual property.
No, I think it was. I think it was the Wakanda Forever kind of.
Yeah,
but he had the Black Panther mask as well a few times. Yeah,
that's what I mean though. He was kind of. I think he was buying into the kind of the good feeling around the message of the movie.
Yeah,
I forget this. Did he have to go into the bench to get the mask, or did he have it like down his shorts or something?
I think it was behind the goal.
It was behind the goal.
That's a good amount.
Someone must have moved it.
Yeah.
There's also the Michail Antonio dirty dancing with a cardboard cutout of himself.
That was
very good.
Iconic. Yeah.
That's very excellent.
As well. Yeah.
So it's about how you use them.
Very much
how
so.
How you use the props and what they are.
Stjarnan also did like a human toilet one where they made like a toilet.
Yes.
I mean, that, again... That's where I think the too much time on your hands thing comes into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you have time to choreograph this, but it feels a little bit... What if they have a massive goal drought? What if they have like one really good one all lined up that they've spent time on and then they go like five games without scoring and it becomes like a whole thing?
Basically putting on a play because of overthought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Todd Bowley's listening to this, don't get ideas here.
Yeah, it all went into extra time because one of the teams insisted on doing the Midsummer Night's Dream after like one of the goals had gone in and it all got really strange.
Imagine that. Yeah, if they do that, they score and it's like 1-0 and then because of the added time, because of how long it's taken them to do their celebration, they concede an equaliser. Only got themselves to blame.
Rightly so.
Very much so. So one of the weirder celebrations we've seen involves Sevilla's Francisco Gallardo. He was charged by the Spanish Soccer Federation in 2001 for biting his teammate Jose Antonio Reyes' penis after he had scored. Reyes was besieged by his teammates after scoring, but Gallardo was seen bending down and having a little bit of a nibble. Reyes said, I felt a bit of a pinch, but I didn't realise what Gallardo had done until I saw the video. Felt a bit of a pitch. It's just why?
But I am questioning why have we put this under like a pre-choreographed celebration?
Is that pre-planned or is it spontaneous?
It cannot possibly have been pre-planned.
Just after the game, in the post-match press conference, like it looked like you practiced out on the training ground. It's like, yeah, we've spent a lot of time on the training ground.
We stayed
after, you know, certain training. We've been trying that for weeks, and we thought, you know, when we should do it.
Surely that's in the Kietzbeyer. Right. That must be in the Kietzbeyer. Sort of so happy with emotion.
I mean, he'd bite it straight
sure
off, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
it's got to be just unthinking, really, isn't it?
Also, what are they charging with?
Penis biting?
Because it's technically not ungentlemanly conduct, is it?
I don't know that it's not.
It's not bringing the game into disrepute, is it?
I don't know. I'm really not sure. They just charged him. Maybe they've just like, yeah, we'll figure that out later.
There is a thing in the laws of the game that just says showing disrespect for the game, which could mean literally anything. Yeah. Yeah, like half the celebrations we've mentioned are bookable offences, I think, for that reason.
So how do we feel about managers getting involved in the celebrations?
I don't mind. Well, it depends. I quite, even though it was against Manchester United, I thought like the Mourinho down the touchline when Costinha scores that goal for Porto, that was...
Costinha, I haven't thought about it in a long
time. Was quite iconic. I don't mind that.
It really announced him as a personality, didn't it? And as a sort of like kind of A-list presence. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he was already managing Porto in the Champions League. It's not like he was a complete...
A humble man who shuns the limelight and just wants to get on with the job.
But I also like Pep Guardiola did it when Iniesta scored that goal against Chelsea, like run down. Sometimes it's the like... I want to be a part of this with them type feel. And I still think Mourinho was governed by that primarily when he ran there. And then obviously it was different come the Inter Milan-Barcelona game when he runs on at the Nou Camp and he's just doing it to show all the fans that he fucking hates
them
all.
Became a raging egomaniac later on. But that definitely falls under my sort of nice, spontaneous, everyone's very happy category that I think is very positive.
He's got a gallery of these. When Wesley Schneider scored an injury time winner against Udinese in 2009 for Inter, Mourinho rolled his fists and jumped up and down with his tongue out. Inter president Massimo Moratti said, "It was a bit strange, but the important thing is that we won." Weirdly subdued.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing it again, is he? Yeah.
All right. Oh, he's gone.
Always something different, always something weird. I mean, does it create a bond with fans if managers do a celebration, though? Because non-celebrating managers are often accused of sort of lacking character or passion.
Lacking character. They're cowards.
Yeah.
Liars and charlatans.
Jurgen Klopp, I think he's like... Yeah. He obviously has specific groups he celebrates with. I think that's nice, personally. Mm.
How about Alan Pardew's FA Cup final dance? How do we feel about that in retrospect?
On brand.
Well, I suppose it showed his personality.
It really did.
Yeah. Oh, it was
awful. It's a man who likes a dance.
Even thinking about it makes me uncomfortable. It was what he did with his mouth. The way the little O he made with his mouth. But
is it better if Alan Pardew does it or if Sam Allardyce does that one?
I'm thinking of when Allardyce tied his tie around his head and was dancing in that club.
Exactly right. He should do more of that on the touchline. It would be very good.
Yeah, maybe. Dear, oh dear.
I imagine, just on the Allardyce thing, Alan Pardew's found love in a lot of places. Not just hopeless ones.
I'm not sure we'd call it love. It's quite nice to see a goalkeeper celebrate, isn't it? Listener Simon reminded us of the DR Congo goalkeeper, Robert Kidiaba, who became famous for his donkey dance, where he basically sort of shuffled around the penalty area on his bum. I quite like that.
Is that like mimicking that he's on a donkey rather than...
Donkey dance doesn't seem to describe that for me.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of a goalkeeper celebrating, to be honest. They should get more stuck into the celebration. I mean, they have to run quite a long way, so that is a factor. But they should also celebrate saves more. I think that should be you have to be very careful.
They get stick for it, don't they, doing
that? No, but I think that's nonsense. I think that is the equivalent of scoring a goal for them, isn't it? Making a good save. So I want to see more of that.
But the goalkeeper
Socrates used to celebrate tackles, and he was a pretty flawed player in a lot of ways, but I loved that about him.
That's gotten me going now. Like, that's... The idea that goalkeepers, like, you shouldn't celebrate a save because maybe you'll concede in the next attack.
Yeah.
We would never, ever apply that logic to strikers.
Yeah, you might miss the next one.
You mustn't celebrate this goal because you might miss the next shot. What is that? Total nonsense.
Yeah, we shouldn't apply that to birthdays either. Well, wouldn't over-celebrate this one because you might not have another one.
You might die.
You never know. It's a dangerous world out there. How do we feel about non-celebrations? I think sometimes players don't celebrate at all and it looks a bit strange, but it's like not celebrating against your old club is weirdly controversial. I don't really know why, because I think it just shows respect to the individuals that you know there, doesn't it?
I don't think it has to be a hard and fast rule, and I think different players have different relationships with clubs, no matter how long or short they've been there. I remember Romelu Lukaku got stick because he didn't celebrate a goal against West Brom, despite the fact that everything that was written about Lukaku at the time, or you know, as he was on this upward progression, talked about how his time at West Brom was a real important time for him, where it was the first time he said that he was treated as an adult at a football club. Mm. They kind of went to him like, you know, you're really into your video analysis. What would you like to watch? Mm-hmm. What would you like videos on? You know, what would you like to discuss? That kind of thing. And he scored against them, didn't celebrate, and people are like, fuck, you only spent like 4 months at the Hawthorns, you're not celebrating with them. You're not celebrating a goal against them. How pathetic. And it's like, no, that's his thing. Like,
yeah.
You
don't know the relationships that the player has with the people at the club. So I think it just is what it is.
Yeah. And look, we obviously joke, like, it comes up because it's quite funny, but Adebayor's celebration against Arsenal was off the back of like him feeling massively disrespected by them and going about it in a very, very bad way. But like that shows the yin and yang between
them. That's fine.
Do you think sometimes time has to pass?
There's got to be a place for spite.
It's true, yeah.
Sometimes I think time has to pass because famous snake rat weasel Robin van Persie didn't celebrate against Arsenal in his first season at Man United, but did in his second. So he's kind of got no reason when time has passed. Yeah. He's probably got so much stick on the internet. He's like, you know what, forget this. So,
which I think is fine, by the way.
I mean, absolutely. They have their right of reply, don't they? And the pitch is the best place for it. So let's close, as everything really should, with essentially Jamie Vardy, because we want to talk about the shithouse celebration, and he's really the king of that. Last season, he did a wolf howl at the Wolves fans. He impersonated an eagle in front of the Homestead End at Selhurst Park.
Huge fan of
Crystal Palace.
I mean, that is impressive.
He was also properly taunting the Southampton fans during the 9-0 after like the eighth goal. Like really rubbing salt in the wounds. And he cupped his ears when he scored at the Hawthorns in 2020, despite no fans being there. That's one for you at home, essentially, isn't it?
The only thing is, I need to check the timing on this. The eagle thing with Jamie Vardy, was it before or after the eagle died? I mean, that is the big question. Because, of course, what people forget is that Kyla the Eagle, who used to fly around at Selhurst Park, died a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and I have to say, if this was very shortly after the death of the eagle, then really we're at next level here.
Yeah, and I there's no one I believe in more to be able to hit that level. I do remember there was a famous Rome derby, like Lazio have an eagle that flies around the stadium before the game, as a few clubs do, Benfica and obviously Palace do it as well. But Roma had a beautifully simple sign that just said, fuck you and fuck your eagle.
Well, he's definitely, he appears to have, this is a very quick research while we're recording, gentlemen, he appears to have done the eagle celebration both before and after the death.
So the first one was a warning.
Yeah.
Does imply, like, look what I did to your eagle.
And you know he did it with a BB gun as well. Like a ne'er-do-well child.
And a can of K-cider. Yeah. Dear, oh dear.
Before and after.
Jamie Vardy, my favourite player. Right, so we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for joining us on another Football Ramble Guide 2. Remember, we want your ideas for what to talk about next. We've had loads so far, and we're going to work through our favourites as the season goes on. If you fancy learning more about one of football's quirks or grand old traditions, then get in touch and tell us. Email us, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @footballramble with your suggestions, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much, Lars.
Thank you. That was fun, Jim. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so did I. Thank you.
I'm going to go celebrate in the hallway.
Thank you.
There you go. Muted there. But no. Clearly not that thankful.
Showing
at all.
Respect.
I'm very thankful, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I used to be a listener, and now I'm on the other side.
You're on the show. I'm going to go celebrate.
I don't want to celebrate in their face, yeah.
See ya.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.